morning and welcome to Little Sotara Church of the Brethren. We want to go over a few welcome and announcements here. The upcoming Christmas schedule. In your bulletin, it has an update with next Sunday, we're doing caroling to the shut-ins. And then on the 23rd, will be one service that Sunday. And then make sure you join us Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. for the Christmas Eve service. Another announcement, today is the last day for stockings to be filled for the cards, the shut-ins, and they'll be delivered next Sunday with the caroling. And we want to say a congratulations to David and Amanda Heckman for the baby of Lucas Claude Heckman. The rose on the altar is in honor of the baby. Any other announcements?
I do.
Go ahead.
My biggest announcement this week was we became grandparents again. Cortland Kennedy was born on Wednesday, 7.5 pounds, healthy and well. Mom is home, and sisters are loving her unconditionally. The other announcement is, thanks to a very generous donation last week, our mission team has reached $17,000. Thank you so much. God is so good. There's extra candy in the back.
And I just want to, regarding the Christmas caroling next Sunday, with the light luncheon, if you know that you're planning to go along Christmas caroling, if you could leave John and Jamie Wise or myself know so that we can just plan to have enough food for those that are going to go along caroling. So hope to have a good crew.
Any other announcements? Oh, Jean has an announcement. Can we get a microphone up to Jean? Okay, here, microphone's coming.
Microphone,
there's a microphone coming right there.
And I have a long, Mark would say, or my family would say, epistle. And I am going to cry. You'll understand why. I've been holding church all over the building this morning, so I'm going to take over church here this morning. There are a lot of people in this congregation who do not have email or access to Facebook. And all week, our family has been posting things on Facebook, at least Mark has. And the last thing I looked last night, about 2 o'clock, he had a beautiful thing on Facebook about Gracie King with pictures. And I'd like to read what Mark put out to the church on early Wednesday morning. It says, "Hi, guys. Now that it's common knowledge here in the Lytix community, I wanted to let family leadership know what has been going on, instead of just the vague, frustrating statements we've been issuing for the past couple of days. We were under request by Gracie's family to keep things quiet, but now it's all public knowledge. It was already public knowledge in the Lititz community, but not here in ours. As you guys all know, our family has a history of collecting strays, people, especially children, who may need a little extra attention. Our parents have passed that on to us, and we've passed it on to our kids. Gracie King was one of those kids. We asked you last week to remember the Myers family and the King family in your prayers, but we couldn't say why. As a freshman transfer at Warwick, she was a year younger than everyone else, and by nature, a flake. She would show up at marching band events without shoes, coats, food. Obviously, being heavily involved as parents, especially through the transition of a new director, keeping an eye on these kids frequently fell on us, on Karen and Mark, and on Jack and Savannah. Gracie was just flighty. Often she would just forget to tell her parents what was going on. Being leftover hippies in conservative Lititz, they also felt out of place, and very sadly, not as welcomed as we should have made them feel. Something I, Mark, will always regret. Beyond Gracie's flightiness, she was insanely smart, witty, and musically talented. I don't know of any child that had the musical ability that Gracie had. In the move to Warwick, she had jumped an entire grade, and so was a year younger than most of her friends. But because of her intellect, she tended to have a circle of friends even older. For 2 years, Gracie was around our family, frequently on car rides and at other events. More than once, I would go to pick Jack up at school in the rain and find Gracie walking home, shoes off, dancing between the raindrops. Once Jack came home and asked to borrow Savannah's car because one of his crazy friends was walking home with 20 books from the library. We said, go and say hi to Gracie. She had figured those two books would last her the first 2 weeks of summer vacation, 20 books. Last year, Jack and Gracie started dating, and she became a fixture in our house. I would frequently come home and find Gracie sound asleep on our living room floor, or we would have meals waiting for her between school and evening activities. She went places with us and spent much of the summer with Jack at Jean's house. Most of you don't know, but all summer long, Jack brought what we called his commune to my house, and Gracie was in that group. They came every Monday. They swam in the pool. They played games in the basement. They jammed in my living room, and that was Gracie with her ukulele. They were there every Monday. She pushed Jack to take harder classes in school and to do well. Black Friday, she went with us on our annual Rehoboth Beach tree lighting trip. Told you this is long, so I apologize for that. For all that she could do, what Gracie couldn't do was deal with her own demons. She suffered from severe ADHD and was on high-powered medications. I'm reading this because so many people ask me downstairs, people ask me out here, and I want it to just share it with everybody instead of giving bits and pieces. Gracie was under help. People said, why didn't she get help? Gracie was getting help, but the help didn't help Gracie. Despite mood stabilizers, she experienced wild mood swings, and she had suicidal thoughts. In her own miswired brain, she convinced herself, her family, and friends would be better off if they didn't have to deal with her issues. Last Friday night, she spent the evening at our house watching movies and seemed fine. Her mother said after Jack dropped her at home, however, they could see the energy draining. Saturday morning, in a carefully planned way so that no one could stop her, she took her own life at the high school before a rehearsal for the Christmas concert. She took her life at the high school by hanging. Another student found her. So if you're aware of what happened weeks before, they have now lost three students, and that's why I said, please pray for the students at the Warwick School. They have now lost three students in about 5 weeks. Her father had friends call when he left in the ambulance, and Jack and Karen met them at the hospital, but there was nothing that could be done. Gracie's so bright light had already faded. Sunday, we took Jack to the hospital so he could say goodbye before they removed her from life support. She passed late Sunday, and I couldn't share that with you Sunday morning. Here we find ourselves in limbo. Although heavily involved, we are not involved at all. At the request of her family, we said very little to anyone. Even though they kept us informed, we could say nothing before information was relieved publicly. Although Gracie accompanied Jack to many church-related events and was generally supportive, the family is atheist. So we thought church visits would be insensitive. Although grieving the loss, it's not our place to be part of the service or arrangements. And we didn't want to distract from attention and support her family should be getting. Jack's friends and the students at Warwick's music programs could not be more supportive. It was not public knowledge, but this is a small town, so obviously everyone knows what happened. There has been a steady flow of Jack's friends through our house since Sunday night. Monday night, more than 20 children packed their tiny little living room. And Tuesday, the children, students, young people, set up a rotation so that at least one or two were there from 3 through midnight with Jack. We did our best to pass those thoughts and prayers on to her family. As older people, we have all been through this. We know what to expect and how grief works. Having been through it with my father, Savannah has been a huge help, but this also opens old wounds for her. Savannah sat with me the night her grandpa died. Savannah stood beside him all night and rubbed his arm and said goodbye when we decided to take him off the ventilator. So Savannah had been through that with her grandpa, and she was some help to her parents and Jack. But it also opens up all wounds, and Savannah is really taking this very hard and difficult. I'm skipping some. Jack is getting a little more open each day. The end of his semester is still up in the air, but we're planning to encourage him to finish it out and commute from home. It's a horrible way. It's a horrible way for him to be introduced to adulthood, and as a parent, it's awful not knowing the pain your child is, just knowing the pain your child is going through and not being able to do, and pardon my French, but he wrote a damn thing, and you can't. So what we ask is that you keep us all in your prayers and reach out to Jack. And with that, I will end and share with you that I was at funeral last night for Gracie. The whole marching band was there to support her. It went an hour and 45 minutes that at least 100 students went through and said how they felt about Gracie. So it was a good service. It was not a Christian service, but the support that Mark and Jack have felt, and they said the cards started coming from this congregation yesterday. I ask you to please keep them coming. Please keep Jack in your prayers. We have not left him alone since. We have mapped out every day so that he has family with him every day. He did get his things from college. They took everything on Wednesday and brought it home because he's in no shape to take finals. The profs have worked with him at school, and they said he can work over the holiday and he can finish tests up until April so that he will not have lost this semester. So that is very good. But I ask your continued prayers for the family as they struggle with this. I ask your prayers for the King family. And if I have the address right, I would love to give it to every one of you in here to bombard the King family with cards. Something good may come out of Gracie. Gracie was vibrant, alive, helpful, and caring. And I'd like to see our congregation be the same way. Thanks for taking time and listening to me.
Thanks for sharing, Jean. Let's pray right now, Lord. Father God, we lift up the Meyer family and the King family, Lord. Lord, we just pray that your light would shine through this. Lord, let the Myers know that they are not alone. Wrap your loving arms around each one of them. Lord, be with the King family that they may learn who you are through all of this, that something good may come out of it. Father God, we just pray right now that you would just be with us, be with the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise and join me in the call to worship. And then following the call to worship, we'll go into the singing of Hark the Herald. Is it up? Okay. Listen, the voice of God calls out across the ages.
We hear and respond. We rise up to worship God from the valleys, the mountains, and the plains.
Like a shepherd, God leads us and tenderly gathers us together.
Comfort, O my people, says our God.
The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. O God, you call to us from the wild places. You call to us from the inner chambers of your hearts. We come in answer to your call. We come to pray, to praise, to learn of your love for all creation. Reveal your glory that we may see it together. Inform and inspire us to seek your kingdom on earth in our time. Amen.
Hymn number 201, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Church, to not keep what we know to ourselves, to share the hope, to share the good news that we have in Jesus. May we do so at all times. Are there any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning? I have one from Barbara Batts. It's for Harold Miller. He'll be having surgery today for fluid on his brain, so please keep Harold and his family in your prayers as well. Any other joys or concerns? If you were here for the children's Christmas program, you know how much a joy that was, and we appreciate all the efforts that went forth to make that possible, and thank each one of them for having that come forth. Yes, Patty.
A church family like we have, I can't say thank you enough for all the prayers and the cards, and I know everybody here that ever asked for prayers, you know, it's just a joy to have people that care.
Yesterday we did the gingerbread houses out at the cafe, and it was a wonderful way to touch the community. People are very appreciative of what we've done. And it's kind of a way to reach out to folks that need a church or something like that. So maybe next year we could get more of the church involved. So just to reach out to that community, because we're not doing enough. We got to do more. We got to get out to these young people. We got to make them feel at home, welcome, loved. No matter what their situation, and even adults. There's a lot of adults out there that they just need a couple nice, kind words. Amen. Amen.
I I didn't want to infect the gingerbread, so I kept my germs to myself.
It's been several weeks since I've heard anything about the campfire in California on the news, and also about the caravan of people as deep as Honduras traveling to Mexico. So I just ask that you would keep the other side of the country, the other side of the continent in our prayers. I do have a youth ministry acquaintance who has been traveling across the border to help the humanitarian crisis. I've been to Tijuana 3 times. I've seen the plight of the people that were living there, and to have an influx of 6,000 to 8,000 people come. So just taking tarps and tents and diapers and wipes and medicine and all these other supplies across the border, almost daily, sometimes 2 times a day, just to help those people who are in need. So all politics aside, there are people, thousands and thousands of people without a home in Tijuana, and just all the people that are helping the churches and the other individuals that are working to help these people just kind of stay alive and support them in their plight. So just ask for prayers. Again, the other side of the continent, those people who are affected by the campfire up north and those migrants below the border in Tijuana.
I just wanted to share, our junior high youth has missions on their hearts. And last Sunday, we had a discussion in Sunday school class about helping individuals that are less fortunate or going through a rough period in their life. And from that discussion came that they asked if we could help a local family that is going through some challenges. They are donating the money that was raised last week from their youth yummies to this family. And not only that, they have provided gifts, snacks, we're providing a meal, and we are going, anybody that is available from the junior high is going Christmas caroling and dropping off all these goodies at this individual's home. I'd really encourage this congregation to support the junior and senior high youth. There's a lot of good working behind the scenes with them right now, and always a word of affirmation and a word of encouragement is welcome.
Rufus Murky, he's getting surgery on the 21st. He's got kneecap replacement.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray you would draw us near to you. You know circumstances in our lives. You know what we've been through this week. You know what we're going through in this very moment. And we are so thankful that you're called Emmanuel, that you are God with us. You're not some distant God that we have to seek. We can find you every moment of every day. And so we thank you, God, that you can be known, but not known only to us, those that believe, but can be made known to others around this globe. And we just thank you for outreaches. We thank you for the youth and the way in which they touch this family's life. And we thank you for the gingerbread house making, Lord, and the way in which that touches so many lives. And there's so many good things that go on here at Little Sotara and across our county and across this globe, Lord, that go unnoticed, but we're just saying that we want to do more, Lord. What else can we do? And we're just praying that you would lead us, you would guide us through the Holy Spirit to be able to reach out in whatever way you would call us to. And we just thank you. We can pray that we can pray to a God that hears our prayers, or pray to a God that responds to our prayers. And so we just thank you for those that we're able to pray for this morning, and we know how you interact with them. And especially this morning, we want to lift up a very special prayer for Jack and for Mark and for the family, for Savannah, for Jean and for Karen and for the King family. Lord, you know their names. And I just pray, Lord, in this very moment, you would just make your presence very powerfully known, Lord, that you would just warm their hearts right now. You would just give them a comfort and a peace that just surpasses any understanding they would have right now. And I just pray you would continue to do that in the upcoming months and years ahead, Lord, that they would just know that you're a God that's for them, not against them, and that the kings would even, through this trying time, come to know you, Lord, whether through cards, through words, whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to them through your people. And we just thank you that we have a voice. We thank you that we can send a card. We thank you that we can do all sorts of things to be able to encourage, to uplift, to be able to show your love to others. And I just pray, Father, that we wouldn't be idle in doing so. I just lift up Harold this morning, Lord. You know the surgery he'll be facing or is already facing for fluid on his brain. And Father, we know you are the master physician, and we're just praying your special touch upon Harold right now and upon his family, Lord. Just meet him where he's at right now and just give the surgeons all they need to make this a successful surgery. We think of Rufus and the surgery he has upcoming, Lord. Just prepare him, bless him, Lord. Allow him to know your presence. We think of Tim and the healing he's going through after his procedure, Lord, another surgery in the coming weeks or months ahead, Lord, and just lift up our brother Tim to you, Lord, and we think of Terry this morning, and we think of those that have lost loved ones, the Idris family, and many others on our hearts and minds right now, Lord. You know specifically who's been affected by loss this entire year, and loss isn't easy, and we just pray, Lord, that you would just give us a peace and help us to know your comfort in a real way. We just thank you for Patty and for the healing that she's already going through, Lord. Just continue to stitch her back to wholeness, Lord, and just help her to know just how much you love her and how much your church family loves her, Lord. And we just thank you for newborn life. We think of the baby born and other babies that have been born, Lord, and to celebrate new life. But most of all, we celebrate the new life that you have given us through your son, Jesus, who's born in a manger during this season. And we just look to him in all things and realize that he didn't stay a baby. He grew up. He allowed us to realize what it means to be mature in the faith, what it means to be holy, what it means to be righteous. So, Lord, help us to refine ourselves this morning to continue to prepare for the second coming of the Lord. So thank you, God, for meeting us here in this place. And we just pause and just confess those prayers, that things we've done wrong, those sins that have entered our lives, we just confess them to you right now in these next few moments of silent prayer. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Father, we thank you that not only was your son born, but your son went through his entire life and he faced many difficult situations as people mocked him, as people tormented him, as people disbelieved who he was, but so many miracles happened and we're given such an example of how this baby grew and how this baby did so many things among us, but ultimately, Lord, he went to the cross. And that's where our sins are forgiven and we don't take for granted for 1 second what happened on that cross. We don't take for granted for 1 second what forgiveness looks like in our lives, not only from you, God, but forgiveness towards others. And we just pray, Father, that we would be a people of forgiving natures and help us, Lord, to see you through each of us, Lord, that others would be able to see a reflection and be able to know that when they speak to us, they're speaking to someone that knows their Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for being here in this place with us, for giving us that special touch we need this morning and just allowing your healing to take place and our brokenness to be brought back together. And we just thank you again, Lord, for who you are and all that you mean to us. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
The offertory thought, I'm using our Advent book that we are using in our Sunday school class, and the one that caught my eye for today was Harvest of Righteousness, and verses from Philippians 1:3-11. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Paul's prayers for the church in Philippi remind us that the Advent journey isn't just about celebrating the anniversary of Jesus' birth. It is also about cultivating an attitude of hopeful expectation for Christ's return and the full realization of God's kingdom, inaugurated in Jesus' birth and continuing to take shape in our lives as we partner with God to transform the world. Genuine hope is grounded in what God has done in the past, what God is doing right now, and what God promises to do in the future. As farmers and gardeners know, planting is always an act of hope. Once seeds are in the ground, we must watch and wait for the plants to grow and the fruit to mature.
Similarly, as we wait for the day of Jesus Christ, we are called to an attitude of hope that is rooted in God's abundant blessings. God has started a good work in us, and it will be brought to completion one day. We get a foretaste of now as we partner with one another in the sharing of God's good news. The kingdom of God comes alive in us and in the world, a harvest of righteousness. Following the example set by Paul in the Philippians, pray for the church. Speak prayers of thanksgiving for the work God has done and continues to do, and prayers of petition as we partner with God to transform the world in love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we give our offerings to you, we know not what we will reap. We know not what harvest we will take, but we know that you will do good works with the funds that we give. As we wait and work for your kingdom, may all we are and all we do be for the glory of you and our neighbor's good. In Jesus' name, amen.
To invite the children, come join me up front. Have any of you been keeping track of the days till Christmas? Yes? Yes? Who can tell me how many days are left? 16? I was told 17 in first service, so I don't know if it's 16 or 17. It's one of the days. So, are you ready for Christmas? Yeah? No?
I didn't go Christmas shopping.
Well, when you were asked, are you ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
What things usually come to your head? Have you got all your shopping done? Have you finished wrapping all of those gifts?
Well, didn't even have room yet.
You didn't even have room yet. Did you put up your Christmas tree and decorate it?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, there's one step. Have you sent any Christmas cards yet?
Yeah.
Yes. Have you baked any cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you finish? Is your house all clean and ready for those visitors?
Yeah.
Her room is not ready. Her room is a mess. So, are you ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
No, I'm not ready.
I'm ready.
What other things do we have to get done to get ready for Christmas?
Sweep.
Well, that can go with cleaning.
Clean our rooms.
Clean your rooms. Hey, LaShane, what do you got to do to get ready for Christmas? No answer. Okay. Can you think of anything else we have to do? Do we have to prepare our hearts yet? Yeah. When they say, are you ready for Christmas, I think they should really be asking, are you ready for Christ? Yeah, I think we should start asking that. In our Bible lesson today, we hear the voice of John the Baptist crying out to the people, prepare the way for the Lord. Fill the valleys and level off the mountains. Make the crooked roads straight and the rough paths places smooth. Do you think John the Baptist really meant flatten out those roads? Yeah, I don't think so. No. What John the Baptist really meant was that we have to get ready for Christ to come. We have to make sure our hearts are right, and we have to make sure that we aren't straying from the path. So we have some bad things going on in our lives. We might be dishonest, might be selfish, might have some pride that we show, might be jealous. There's many other things too. We're not ready for Christ yet. But John says John wanted the people to make those crooked ways straight and rough places smooth so that Jesus can come and walk right among us. During this special season of the year, you and I need to make sure that we are ready for Christ to come. How can we look at our hearts and make sure that we're ready? Can we pray? Yeah? Should we pray now and get our hearts ready somewhat? Yeah? Let's pray. Dear Father, we want to be ready. Make our crooked ways straight and our rough places smooth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Malachi 3, verses 1 through 4. See, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years.
Well, angels sang to glory.
our passage in the book of Malachi refers to the spiritual work of cleaning and refining. We're talking specifically this morning about one's relationship with God, about one's spiritual life. Scholars tell us that our prophet Malachi lived around the same time as Ezra and the same time as Nehemiah, around 455 to 420 BC. He would have been working with both the local Jewish community and those who were returning back to the land of Israel from exile. Those who were determined to rebuild the wall, the city of Jerusalem, and restore Orthodox Jewish worship. You see, a great many of the Israelites left behind by the exile had given up worshiping the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They gave up learning, even speaking the Hebrew language. They felt God either abandoned or rejected them altogether. They came to believe it would be better to worship some other god or forget worship altogether. It gets personal for us when we see God from a distance, and he's really not feeling all that close to us. And often, friends, it's a matter of taking steps towards him, realizing we're not in control, and standing firm in what his plans are for our lives. So what we see happening at the time of Malachi is rather simple. He, Ezra, and Nehemiah were coming back to live in the promised land. They thought they would find things in great shape. They also thought that the revival that had been spurred by the prophets Haggai and Zechariah would still be having a major impact. The temple had already been rebuilt. Worship was supposed to be flourishing. However, they found themselves having to be missionaries witnessing to their own people about God. Yet, friends, there was one thing in their favor. The Holy Spirit was going before them. The Holy Spirit was warming up the hearts of the local people. Even though many of them had already chosen polytheism, there was still this massive hunger to believe, to follow the good God of creation. So one of the great chapters of the Bible testifying to all of this is found in Nehemiah chapter 8. There Nehemiah shares how the people were so hungry for the Lord that they stood and listened to the priest Ezra read the Torah for hours upon hours, receiving, relishing each and every word that he shared. You see, friends, they were eager to hear about the God who rescued their ancestors from Egypt and was now enabling them to rebuild the promised land. Nehemiah tells us how the people came back a second day, ushering in what we can call a new chapter of renewal and revival. Perhaps in many churches across the globe, this is the hunger we're looking for, the type of hunger that longs for more and for more of God's word. You see, Malachi's message was written for those wanting to come to faith or those wanting to renew their faith in God. And here's what Malachi would have us understand today. Ponder these thoughts. How much the Lord God Almighty loves us. Think of your own lives. Think of the life of your family, the life with your friends, the life with your church, and how that love manifests itself. We remember this Christmas, love comes down in the flesh, in God's only Son, as a baby in a manger. God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. But we also know how the Lord God Almighty has helped restore our relationship with him. I don't know how many of you have fallen back in your relationship over the course of your years of believing, but those can be sorrowful times. They can be trying times. But those times when the Lord restores us, he brings us back to him, even though he's never gone anywhere, have had fulfillment. They've brought completeness to our lives. And we're probably on a better track than we've ever been on before in our relationship with Him. But even more so, how important it is for each and every one of us to be faithful and live out the life of holiness that God has taught our forefathers. We call it in His likeness. We call it carrying His image. This, my friends, should be our daily goal. And in the midst of all this, Malachi wants to remind us God is coming again. Not only to rescue and redeem us, but to examine our hearts and lives. They call this moment the day of the Lord, when He appears and He brings justice to the earth. This time of examination determines our eternal destiny. Chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 of Malachi talks about the Lord God Almighty being a refiner, someone helping us prepare for this coming day of the Lord, a refiner leading us to the anointing and blessings of God. Now, we get the idea that while Malachi is talking to the people in general, he's addressing his comments to a particular Israelite tribe, the Levites. If you remember, the Levites had been given the task of performing all the holy services for the Lord in the tabernacle and in the temple. It was this group of people who were to take special advantage of the work of the Lord as a spiritual refiner. The closer the Levites were to the Lord, the better they could bring people into a time of anointing and blessing. Friends, today it could be said we're like those Levites. When Jesus sent His Holy Spirit, a whole new age was ushered in, the age of the priesthood of all believers. The age when any man, woman, or child, regardless of race, culture, education, or anything could be redeemed, filled with God's Holy Spirit, and be a witness for the Lord God Almighty. So when we read the words of Malachi, along with the words of Luke 3, 1-6, we understand that those words are meant for us today, just as much as they were meant for those who lived during those times. We too stand in the same line for the coming of the day of the Lord. We find it very true that one day Jesus is coming for His church. For all we know, it could be right around the corner. But listen closely to Hebrews 9:27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes the judgment. Friends, if we've ever wanted to get ready for an appointment, that is the one. That's part of the goal of this Advent season, to help us celebrate Jesus' first coming, but also to prepare us for a second. So you may ask yourself this morning, how might we refine ourselves into the likeness of God? Well, a question we may ask in that regards is, what if we didn't accept the status quo? Our relationship with the Lord is based on what He's written. Listen to what Moses says in Exodus 33:13. Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, so that I may know you, that I may find favor in your sight. You see, friends, Moses never gave up having a better, a more refined relationship with the Lord. He never gave up on working for a daily walk with the Lord to be better. It seems like the closer Moses got to the Lord, the more he desired to get even closer. You see, once Moses got a taste of the Lord, he never got to the point where he was satisfied with his relationship. He wanted to follow Him better. He wanted to be even more holy and more like his Lord. So the question, have we settled for the status quo? Do we find ourselves doing just enough to get by? Or are we hungrier for more of what God has in store? The Bible tells us that the Lord created us out of love for that very relational experience. Friends, He loves to hear from us. He loves to spend time with us. He loves to walk with us, work with us, and spend quiet time with us throughout our days. In fact, the Lord created a whole day for us to do nothing more than just that. We call it the Sabbath. Way before Abraham and the law of Moses, the Lord created an entire day to spend just with him. But reflect on that for a moment. We tend to get the Sabbath all messed up at times. We put these restrictions on it. We cause it to be a day of rules and regulations. But the truth is, the Lord just wants to spend time with you. He wants to join us in worship, to hear our prayers, to be in our presence, teaching us, anointing us, and blessing us. So there does come a time, friends, we must get serious. Now, I'm not a baker. I don't cook much. I can grill a little bit. But let's imagine for a moment that I were to make a great big pan of brownies for all of us to enjoy. Now, after I was done mixing up the brownies, I went out into my front yard where my dog likes to make a mess. And I took just a little tiny piece of that dog doo-doo and put it into my brownie mix. The brownies looked perfectly fine. You would never know there's anything wrong with them. But how many of you, having foreknowledge of that dog doo-doo, would now eat my brownies? Not a single one of you. Because you realize there is a chance that you could take a bite out of that brownie and be surprised by something else. So when we look at our lives, we often convince ourselves something just a little outside of God's word is okay. We use this phrase, what's it really going to hurt? But friends, when the deed's been done, the deed's been done. We can ask for forgiveness. We don't have to live in guilt. But imagine a life where you lived in that holiness, you lived in that righteousness moment by moment, never feeling shame, never feeling guilt, always turning to God's word, knowing what's right and what's wrong. That would be the kind of life God's looking for. But in the process, we're to be refined. We're to be given more than one chance to get it right. And that day may never come where we get it totally right. But it doesn't mean we don't stop trying. Would you pray with me? Lord, we invite you into our relationships with you. We ask you to make us sweeter, that we would have a savory flavor to the world. We invite you, Lord, to refine our relationship through the Holy Spirit to convict us, Lord. For you know what we do, and you know what we do that is in opposition to your word. So not only do we ask for forgiveness, we ask that you would help us be right. Help us to do what is right. And Lord, in all of this, we just pray you would be glorified, that our lights would shine and our love would be evident to the world. May it be so in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Please rise and join us in closing the days of Elijah.
Restore.
like Jehovah. When you truly conceive that within your hearts, when you truly conceive that within your minds, your lives will never be the same. Because the fact is, there is no God like Jehovah. And he will meet your every need if only you seek him, because he wants to be found. Love him because he wants to be loved. Spend time with him because he wants to spend time with you. But most of all, take this good news and spread it wherever you go, with peace and love and joy forevermore. Amen.